Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, next week is one of the long-awaited annual traditions that we have here in the region, the Native Plant Sale. And in the studio to talk with us about it is one of our favorite Good to Grow guests, garden curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, John White. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Vaughn.
Well, John, not only is the plant sale a part of the flora festivities, but we do want to also highlight the lecture that will be preceding the sale. So tell us a little bit more about who and what and where.
Well, our Flora Fest speaker this year is Marcy Scott, and Marcy is a avid birder, lives in Las Cruces, you know, naturalist, hiker, and her husband both have a little nursery in Las Cruces that grows a lot of native plants and done a lot of landscape design here in El Paso and in the area through the years. So very knowledgeable in their plants and birds and stuff. So Marcy took those two loves together and came out with a book that's much needed for the area and an excellent book. Has great growing tips and all kinds of things on the plants. You know, beautiful photos. A lot of times you pick up these books and they got little thumbnail type shots and you can hardly tell what's in them. And these have got full page color photos. So excellent book and a lot of great information. She's going to have that available. So she's going to be speaking on Friday prior to the sale, Friday night at 6 o'clock in the auditorium of the Undergraduate Learning Center on the UTEP campus. And that's kind of just south of the museum. You know, before and after her presentation, you can also walk through the plants and see what's going to be for sale that, you know, this coming week, or I mean, during the weekend. But Marcy, she's a good speaker, good lecture on the plants to use for a hummingbird haven.
And I'm guessing so, some of those plants might also be highlighted at the Native Plant Sale.
Yes, they will
so
be.
What might some of those plants be that attract hummingbirds?
Well, some of the great ones are, of course, the salvias and the penstemons, and so we will have several different species of those. But any year, flowers that are tubular in shape are usually what hummingbirds love, and they do kind of tend to go to the more reddish colors, but they will go to other flowers. And, you know, some of our native plants, our ocotillo is actually a very good hummingbird plant. And they're, of course, in bloom right now, but they're a great plant for hummingbirds. A lot of people probably don't even notice them on them. And also desert willow, believe it or not, they get into the flowers on desert willow. So those work as a spot where sometimes they will put their nests, and also they like to buzz the flowers there. So they're great.
I've seen some hummingbirds actually visit Lantana.
Uh-huh.
Even though, you know, they have those tiny little flowers.
Right. They'll go after a lot of different things. But they prefer the tubular flowers. But if you watch them and you have a garden with a lot of different flowers in them, you'll notice they'll come visit a lot of plants. But they're great. So, you know, everybody loves hummingbirds, and they put out the fake feeders, I call them. Whereas we're talking about plants with real stuff that's natural. So the hummingbirds have a more of a natural diet rather than
a sugar water diet.
So the sugar water, you got to be real careful of, you know, as far as keeping it clean so that you don't get any bacteria or fungi that get started in it and can cause health problems to the birds. So you want to be very careful. So having flowers that have the more natural nectars and stuff for the hummingbirds really, you know, really the best way to go.
And a lot of these plants are very multi-purpose, too. Not only are they good for hummingbirds, but they're good for bees, they're good for butterflies, sometimes even wasps. And even I've seen some little sort of fly-like insects going in for some nectar as well.
Right. When you use native plants, you end up bringing in a lot of the native pollinators. And so you won't see the typical European honeybees. You will see solitary bees that make their homes in the soil and holes in your wall, holes in your wood, you know, and they're looking for places to make their nests, so they're not in big groupings, they're solitary. And they come out and they're great pollinators. They aren't going to attack you. We have, you know, a lot of plants in bloom in the garden right now and people walking through and they're always,
yeah.
But
I don't think
but those,
yeah.
Those insects are there. They're working on the flowers. They don't care about you.
They might buzz you every now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they might buzz your head, right. But they're not going to come
but
at
like,
you.
But like you're in their way.
Yeah, they're just trying to get out of my way. Yeah, I'm trying to eat.
But like you said, butterflies and sweat bees, solitary bees, you know, wasps of all kinds. And, you know, we have the big tarantula wasps that scare everybody. They have the black bodies and kind of the orange wings. Mm-hmm. Those come in. And,
oh, those are the tarantula hawks, right? Those are
beautiful.
Yeah.
So they do great. So you'd be surprised what your garden. And then when you have native insects, you also provide a food source for birds and other native wildlife that will come into the area. So
you're kind of building up a habitat.
You're building your own ecosystem there. And
it doesn't really matter how small you may have that small little ecosystem. As long as you have something there, they will find it. And you know how we've all heard about the communication amongst bees. One bee will find it, and pretty soon you're going to have a whole bunch of them come in to visit. And so as long as, you know, they're sort of spreading the word through the grapevine, so to speak, so you're still going to be helping out.
And if you mix your plants where you have different flowering periods, that'll help keep insects and birds
keep
and
the population.
Butterflies and hummingbirds and everybody coming into your garden, so you have some spring flowering, summer flowering, fall flowering, and you kind of keep the garden going year round.
And you're going to have all those kinds of plants at the native plant sale.
Right.
And I think what's terrific is, you know, maybe people who are new to El Paso aren't familiar with the native plant sale here on campus. There are a number of volunteers. You're going to be there, I think, pretty sure Denise is going to be there, and a whole lot of other master gardeners and other volunteers.
Yeah.
Anaí Padilla, who was our guest last week, will be there as well. But if you have any questions like, how can I have prolonged bloom across the season with early bloomers, mid-season bloomers, late summer bloomers, you guys are going to be able to assist shoppers in helping to make sure they pick the right plants for, again, the right space for whatever purpose you might want to have that plant in your landscape.
And it's also important for people to know exactly what size of an area they're looking to plant, because sometimes people want to cram in a larger plant. You know, it may be small on the smaller end, you know, 15-gallon size, but it's going to grow into a mature tree. So you really want to look at a permanent installation into your landscape. So, yeah, sketch it out and get some dimensions and see exactly what you have to work for, because they will take off. You know, these plants will really fill in the space as well. And one thing I do want to add on what you're talking about our habitats is a water feature. And bringing that, you know, it's not just the food and the nectar for the birds or insects themselves, but also giving them a place to refresh themselves and get a drink of water, too.
Our water is very important in a garden for humans, for plants, and for your insects, your animals. It doesn't have to be a huge pond, but usually something that either you have some flat stones that can be wet, or, you know, we have a copper basin type fountain that has a flattened surface on it, and the water drips down on it, keeps it wet, and insects and birds can land on it. A lot of times the birds will sit under the dripping water and just kind of bathe themselves, and then insects will come in and drink the water off the flat plate, because you don't want a deep surface water for insects without something for them to sit on.
Right, to almost perch, if you will.
Yeah, so if you have like a bird bath, put some flat stones in it that are kind of sticking up out of the water, and that way the butterfly can land on the stone and get water without drowning in the water.
I've seen some really great ones online, and I have one at home. It runs on a solar panel. So it's a really small solar panel, and so you don't have to worry about connecting it to anything of your irrigation system or any kind of electricity, and it has interchangeable spouts. So depending on what kind of flow you're looking for, you can change that out. So it works really well, and I think it's a really important little dynamic to add to your garden.
Yeah, and, you know, if you can, you know, some people construct them where they have floats and, you know, and fresh water gets put in. So if you can't be in the garden daily, which you say needs to be done, put your shadow in the garden.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're away, you don't want the water source to dry up.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have fresh water in there.
So we want to point out that when people go to the plant sale, a lot of native plants don't necessarily look spectacular. You know, like when you go to the nursery and they're trying to sell you a plant, they usually try to sell you the prettiest one, the ones that are in bloom. And a lot of native plants, maybe they've already had their bloom for the season. And when they're being available at the plant sale, perhaps they're not going to look so great. But a really terrific example of how you can work that plant into your landscape is to tour the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens and see how those plants will work in a landscape, how they will work in a natural setting. Because when you see something in a pot, it isn't necessarily going to translate to how it's going to look in the ground.
Right. A lot of your native plants do not look good in pots. And some of them, you know, we'll have will be kind of younger plants that haven't gone into bloom yet. So, you know, we have pictures on the signs of what they're going to look like. So you have to kind of picture the plant being in bloom. But once they get in the ground, that, you know, and the roots get a hold, then they grow fairly fast and they'll start to show their color and you know, really look like a nice plant. So, again, don't let the container fool you. They're actually being a very nice plant.
Is there a way people can research what you have at the plant sale beforehand?
We will have at the plant sale copies of plant lists that give a little description on the plant. Of course, all our signs will have, you know, a little description on the plants, and then you'll have the experts there to ask also. But the plant list with the little descriptions will be online at the museum website, museum.utep.edu, and you can get that information. I think our museum director, Maribel, is also going to put it on Facebook, and so it'll be on Facebook also, so you can get them that way. But we'll have about 3,500 plants there, so there'll be plenty of stuff to pick from.
And so in the last couple of minutes that we have together, what are the big draws to the plant sale, the first ones to go? Because it's kind of first come, first serve, right? Limited quantities.
I mean, everything that's out is what we have. I mean, some years, in past years, you know, we held some back, so we had some on Sunday. But if Sunday's windy, then people don't come, and you're stuck with a bunch of plants. So we just decided we'll just put them all out, and it's first come, first serve. And usually there is some left Sunday, so don't feel you have to make it on Saturday. But a lot of people do come out Saturday. But there's, you know, we have some of the favorites like chocolate flower that everybody loves. We have lots of those. Angelia Daisy is a great one. We have the Calliophis, Sundrops. Those are all great. We have several different salvias, penstemons. You know, we have some trees, 15-gallon-sized trees. So, you know, we don't go any bigger than that, because that's hard enough for, right, if you just bring a sedan, that's you know, it fills the sedan. Somebody has to stay back. But it's a great time. And again, Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 4 both days.
And that's next weekend, and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's here on the UTEP campus at the Chihuahuan Desert Garden Centennial Museum. And the lecture happening next Friday, April 22nd at 6 p.m., Marcy Scott talking about how to plant a hummingbird haven. That will be a free lecture happening next Friday in room 106 of the UTEP Undergraduate Learning Center. How can people learn more, John?
They can call the museum at 915-747-5565, and we'll get you whatever information you need.
You guys have a great Facebook page as well, so I want to invite people to visit the Facebook page for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens and Centennial Museum.
And we'll see you out there.
All right.
And we want to thank you, John White, Garden Curator for the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, for coming back to Good to Grow to tell us about next week's plant sale. And we want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.